Wisconsin's Afternoon News is on the air, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Here are your hosts, John McCure and Julia Fellow, joined in studio by Lori Lowe.
He is WTMJ's community reporter, Tori Lowe. Tori, good to have you here. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Hey, thank y'all for having me.
Okay, so this is the story. A 2023 arrest at a Kenosha Applebee's, and now the man who was arrested is suing three Kenosha police officers, saying his civil rights were violated when he and the mother of his child were arrested inside the restaurant as police mistook him for being involved in a nearby hit-and-run crash. What are some of the details? What happened inside the restaurant?
Well, what I'm seeing is that the police mistakenly identified him, or they sought after. I don't even think he was even the person they was even looking for. I think that he got caught up in what they call mistaken identity.
Yeah.
And when it happened, he had his son in his hand, and the video went viral. This was just one of the most disturbing videos that you can watch. A lot of people from Kenosha, a lot of people from Milwaukee, a lot of people from all across the world saw this on social media. And Roc Nation, Jay-Z organization, Roc Nation started to get involved, and they started to pay for him as he went through criminal court. But I got attorney B. Ivy Lamar. He's trying to call in right now, the attorney that filed this lawsuit. Right now, I think he's having a little trouble with the number. So I'm going to try to get him in on my line.
Okay.
Give me a second. How you doing, Attorney B. Ivy Lamar?
I'm doing good, Tori. How you doing?
Hey, well, we're here live. I have John and Julia here. They want to talk more about the lawsuit that was filed recently that had to do with a situation with a young man out of Kenosha. Can you let us know what took place and what's going on?
Yeah, so as many recall, back on July 20th, 2023, several years ago, the incident at Applebee's in Kenosha went viral. You know, this went across the country to the point that got Jay-Z's attention that it was so egregious. And he sent his, his law, his organization, and he ultimately paid for the criminal defense for Jermell English, seeing that it resulted in two criminal charges, and which were later dropped. But it doesn't in any way compensate for the mental pain, the anguish, these three long years that have resulted from just a very traumatic situation. The video depicts officers mistakenly approaching Jermell English and his family while he held his one-year-old son and as a suspect. And, he didn't match any of the description that came across the cat. And the only thing that was in common from what came across the cat was that he was African-American. That's it. Officers were led to Jermell English and his family. The situation escalated. And what was caught on camera is just a really, really traumatic situation for Jermell. I can tell you that only thing that he wanted on that day was to go enjoy a night out with his family, get some food, and it resulted in handcuffs. It resulted in several strikes to his face that resulted in severe damage. He's currently still in therapy. During the course of this time, really want to kind of keep this situation on the wraps and try to enjoy his privacy as it relates to him trying to get the therapy and the help that he needs. But as many are aware, that there's something called a statute of limitations that governs most civil claims. And, we needed to kind of come up from under the situation and make it public by filing the lawsuit. To try to make him whole and get the justice that he deeply deserves.
So, Attorney Lamar, the video is terrible. Anybody who watches the video will say, my goodness, that shouldn't happen to people in America. Please say that he got put on the ground because he refused to answer questions and refused to cooperate. Is that accurate? If so, why did he refuse to answer police questions?
Well, he has a right to refuse to answer police questions. And a lot of times it's about de-escalation. You know, it's about the approach. You know, he's a human being. He has done no wrong at all. He's going to patronize an establishment and enjoy himself. And he's interrupted by officers accusing and approaching him as a suspect. That is just, you know, not accurate, you know. And his response, I mean, many times you don't have to say anything to a law enforcement officer. You know, he has the right to maintain his silence. The situation escalated because I believe the officer became frustrated. And one thing that we do agree upon, which is very rare in these situations, especially at the beginning of a civil rights lawsuit, is that we are actually in agreement with the police department in internal affairs, at least in part, as it relates to the force that was used was excessive. They continue to use force even while it's undisputed in any degree that he was not a threat to anyone. There was no more back and forth, yet officers continued to use several strikes against him that were completely unprovoked and uncalled for. So that is, you know, in some, you know, some of the issues that we intend to deal with in pursuing this lawsuit.
Civil rights attorney B. Ivory Lamar, we appreciate you being with us. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you all for having me.
Tory, thank you. We don't get that interview if Tory Lowe isn't here in the studio.
Hey, thank you. We're going to have to make it happen. The community needs to know.
Yep. We'll continue to follow the story. Thanks, Tory.
Hey, God bless you.
419 on WTMJ. I wanted to highlight something truly exceptional. There was a gathering in Fond du Lac just last week. It was designed to celebrate the extraordinary talents of people with Savant syndrome and promote greater understanding and inclusion brought by remarkable abilities to our state last week. Savant is someone who is an exceptional, often extraordinary talented person with the ability of a very narrow specific field despite having developmental or neurological challenges. In the U.S., there's roughly 340 people with Savant syndrome. So this was the second annual Global Savant Gathering last Friday in Fond du Lac. It was hosted by SSM Health. It's a Catholic nonprofit health system operating across the Midwest, including Wisconsin. And one of the week's highlights was a visit by an internationally acclaimed artist, Stephen Wiltshire. So if you text WATCH to 855-616-1620, you can see what he's incredible at. Wiltshire, who has autism, is known around the world for his ability to draw incredibly detailed city skylines from memory after seeing it just once. So yes, while he was here, he went up in a helicopter, studied our Milwaukee skyline, then created it from memory perfectly. And you can see his process if you text WATCH to 855-616-1620. It was courtesy of My Flight Tours. They donated multiple helicopter flights for the project. Wiltshire viewed Milwaukee from the air. Then he spent the day, you'll see in the photos if you text WATCH, of him creating this stunning panoramic drawing of the city entirely from his own memory at the Harry and Rose Sampson Family Jewish Community Center in Whitefish Bay. The finished work is one of only 40 large-scale skyline panoramas he's ever created worldwide, and he's a one of one. There's nobody else on Earth like him. He's only made this and drawn our Milwaukee skyline once, so this is a chance for a serious art collector or organization to own a piece of history. It's 3 meters wide, so they said we would love if WTMJ would spread the word about it so they can sell it and then maybe donate it to the third annual autism event.
This is amazing. It's stunning. It's beautiful. This is unbelievable. It's incredible.
Wisconsin's afternoon news on WTMJ.
All right, let's bring in meteorologist Craig Copeland. Hello, Craig. Another hot one.
It is. It's 93 in Milwaukee at this hour. The heat index is 101.
Are we still going up, or have we seen the peak for the day?
I think we're at about peak right now. You may recall about 24 hours ago, I made the call that we were going to break the record high for today.
Yes.
Which was 96. And I'm going to be proven to be wrong on that, but I have reasons. I come with reasons.
Give them to us.
Three reasons. One, it's more humid today than it was expected to be. And so when there's more moisture in the air, more of the sun's heat has to go into heating up the moisture molecules in addition to just the oxygen and nitrogen molecules that are in just regular old dry air. Secondly, there's a little bit of a lake breeze, not a major one, but just enough that it's keeping areas near Lake Michigan a little cooler today. And that includes where the official Milwaukee thermometer is, which of course is at Mitchell International. And thirdly, we've got a little bit more cloudiness today, thin cirrus clouds, and some smoke that's moved down in from wildfires in Canada and northern Minnesota.
How dangerous is the air? How's the wildfire smoke impacting things?
Yeah, so the Department of Natural Resources has issued an air quality alert through tomorrow for unhealthy to very unhealthy conditions. And those aren't just two general terms. They're part of the air quality index scale that the DNR has. So it has a 6-level scale that runs from 1 on the good end. Air quality index of 1 means the air quality is good. It runs to 6, which is hazardous. We're at 4 to 5 on that air quality index scale. So, four being unhealthy, 5 being very unhealthy. And the guidance when the air quality is expected to be very unhealthy is that everyone limit their outdoor activity, and folks with heart or lung issues avoid all physical activity outdoors completely.
Yeah, we had a texter that said they're in Waupaca. Kevin from Waupaca, he showed us some of the haze. It looks like it's like maybe 8 o'clock at night right now in Waupaca.
Yeah. I have one of my daughters and her husband there at, my daughter's-in-law's in Wausau today. And she texted as well saying, can confirm it is smoky in Wausau.
Meteorologist Craig Copeland, always appreciate it, Craig. Have a great rest of the day.
Thanks, you too.
Wisconsin's Afternoon News on WTMJ.
She's better than all the rest. All of them. She is our travel secretary. She is Ann Sayers. Julia, so fired up. Hi, Ann.
Hi, team. How are you?
Very good.
We're really great. Love this topic. Adventure seeker. Boy, we know how to do this in Wisconsin, don't we?
You know, if you're looking for heart-pumping adventure, yeah, we got you covered.
And you can discover your unique travel style and explore the Badger State.
Yeah, you know, Travel Wisconsin is so happy to help you kind of find your travel style and then give you lots of ideas how to pursue that. And for adventure seekers, we have lots of ideas. You can discover thrills in Wisconsin across all seasons and in all places, whether it's on land, in the water, up in the air, maybe. First timers and extreme experts have unlimited ways to play, including ziplining, motorsports, paddling, rapids, pedaling, rugged trails. And today we're going to dive into some summer travel recommendations full of thrills for those adventure seekers. And you can learn more about those travel styles. Find the one that matches you at travelwisconsin.com/travel styles.
Travelwisconsin.com. So much good stuff on the website. All right, Ann, let's check out the ATV UTV scene in Wisconsin. This is big time, especially the last few years in our state.
For sure. So it's starting in southern Wisconsin. The Cheese Country Trail is a popular destination for power sports enthusiasts. It's a 47-mile trail. It draws ATV and UTV riders for its winding route, scenic views, small town stops along the way, and each community on the route has a pit stop to explore, which is always just so fun. In Monroe, for example, Baumgartner's is a favorite among riders for lunch. It's a nearly century-old establishment. It's famous for its simple but delicious cheese sandwiches. Yes, please. And up in the Northwoods, make Hayward your base camp for trail riding trip of a lifetime. Hayward Power Sports, they rent the latest UTV so you can explore the area's vast trail network. The Hayward Lakes area is actually home to 200 miles of off-road trails weaving through thick forests, along scenic lake shores, and over rolling hills.
And then there's pedal-powered adventures, Anne.
Yes, so this one, you can plan your next adventure-filled getaway to the southern unit of the Kettle Moraine State Forest. You're going to find two really high-quality mountain biking trail networks there, the Emma Carlin Trail System and the John Muir Trails. So each system offers something for bikers of all skill levels, so beginners can hit easy routes of only a few miles. Advanced riders might discover long loops that offer a challenge of rocky terrain, fast downhills and uphill climbs. And then connector trails link both of those systems. So you can do the ultimate ride of over 30 miles. You can extend your ride one more day by overnighting in nearby Delafield. The Delafield Hotel, it's such a great spot to rest and recharge. It's a boutique hotel. They treat guests to a contemporary, sophisticated stay. They've got amenities like jetted tubs, so you can relax those sore muscles. And I encourage you to discover more mountain biking destinations using the Wisconsin Trail Report. This is an interactive map. It's a go-to resource for adventure seekers to find mountain bike trails and smooth rides across Wisconsin. And again, that's on travelwisconsin.com.
The Delafield Hotel is gorgeous if you've never been.
Yes.
And a lot of people want to raft, but they're kind of afraid of the white water. But you can get started in Marinette County, it sounds like.
Yeah, so you can gather up the whole crew for a trip that's going to turn into a lifelong memory, whitewater rafting, Marinette County. So this rugged landscape creates some of the best whitewater rafting conditions in the entire Midwest. The Peshtigo and Menominee Rivers are adrenaline-pumping destinations for true adventure seekers. Outfitters like Cosier's Whitewater Rafting and Wildman Adventure Resort, they run guided trips down the rivers, and these are expert guides. They're going to navigate you through the whitewater, which can get as high as a Class 4 rapids. And the outfitters have on-site campgrounds to turn a one-day trip into a multiple days of exploring Marinette County.
And are you more likely to go for a hike or go for a ride on an ATV?
I mean, more often I will do a hike, but I love any opportunity to go fast.
Yeah, those ATVs and UTVs are really, really fun. Hey, if you want more information on what Ann was talking about, it's really easy. Go to travelwisconsin.com. The segment is sponsored by Travel Wisconsin. She is the amazing travel secretary, Ann Sayers. Ann, thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
It's time for the Milwaukee Economy Briefing, where we dive into the latest trends and insights shaping our city's business landscape. To help explain the trends and the news is MMAC President Dale Coinga on Wisconsin's Afternoon News.
Good afternoon, Dale.
Good afternoon.
All right. We want to start with the news that everybody in Wisconsin's talking about. It is the campaign finance situation with Sarah Rodriguez. You ran many successful campaigns. I'm so interested to talk to you because you ran successful campaigns. You lived in this world of campaign finance. You're a CPA. Let's start with the campaigns part of this, Dale. As a guy who raised and reported money, are you surprised that she didn't have multiple sets of eyes on this or didn't seem, if you believe her, to know about this for months?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely hard to swallow that she wasn't aware of this months ago. I mean, most candidates, and this is the way I did it, is that I would sit down on almost a daily basis. It's like, okay, who donated today? What do we spend our money on? Where are we at? Because, you know, especially when you're at a statewide race and you can't knock on every door, is the only way you can figuratively knock on doors is by using money to have your face on the television or have your face on social media or put your letter in their mailbox. And so that cash is your indication as far as how you can reach voters with your message. And that should be a daily conversation. So it's sloppy. I mean, it's not good for Sarah because it's not only about that finance report, but what people are going to do is they're going to say, hey, you want to be a leader of a $80 billion budget. How can you manage that budget if you can't manage your campaign finance report? And so that's the question being posed. Now, obviously, Fong has the same issue to a little bit different extent with the credit card issue that she just paid off from her business days. So,
yeah, and Barnes with his taxes back in the day.
Yeah, it's a lot of folks saying I want to manage the budget who have had some pretty significant budget issues that have been pretty public themselves. So not good. It's probably going to be tough for her to raise money now, because if you're calling around asking donors for money, they're going to say, well, what did you do with the previous money I gave you? The report hasn't been corrected yet, and it could be corrected at any time. So it's going to be interesting and painful to watch how this all unfolds.
Joel Brennan says it's disqualifying. You know Joel Brennan. Do you agree with him?
I don't want to say in my position if it's disqualifying or not. I think it's something that voters need to take into consideration. And at the end of the day, there's some disqualifying things in our perspective from a lot of different candidates as far as positions on some of the issues that are very important to the business community, such as support for charter schools, support for the private voucher program. And so it's something that voters should obviously consider. But, you know, I always say Jesus isn't running. Is when you're talking about these races, almost every candidate's going to have a flaw here and there. And so voters are going to have to decide if this is a disqualifying flaw. And of course, Joe Brennan's going to say that because Joe Brennan wants to be Democratic governor, and that's the Democratic nominee. And, you know, I'd say in Joel's defense, Joel's actually, you know, he knows how to manage a budget. He's done the state budget himself. He's done the city budget. And so, you know, I think his comments are definitely to be considered, but I personally wouldn't say that one issue alone was maybe disqualifying. I think voters have to decide that for themselves.
So she's basically by midnight tonight is going to have to redo January reports too, right, Dale?
Well, I don't know about the deadline. I mean, I don't know if there's going to be fines, there's going to be fees and other things. The longer this report goes out there, but they need to fix this report as soon as possible. I'm sure they have, I hope they have an army of finance and accountants looking over this now to go back and file the cash statements and see where the cash went to figure out what cash is there now. And also, where'd the money go? Why was it so drastically short of what they thought? So hopefully they get that resolved and they get transparency to see where they're at, and that happens shortly.
So this just in, Channel 12's Matt Smith says that Rodriguez is now scheduled to go up on TV tomorrow, and he has a copy of what the ad is. And it's attacking Francesca Hong. It doesn't really show Rodriguez at all. It says, that's Francesca Hong, too liberal for Wisconsin. So do you think that that gives Francesca a little bit of another leg up?
I don't know how to read that, because, I mean, you also got to consider, we were talking about, you know, people are focused on Sarah Rodriguez's campaign and the money that she has. You have to remember, in these campaigns, a lot of the money, and some, in fact, in a lot of places, the majority of the money is coming from third-party groups. And so a lot of the money you'll see in these campaigns aren't going through the candidates' individual campaign accounts. They're from third-party groups that often sometimes don't even identify themselves. They may be Washington, D.C. based. And so that's the strategy. I mean, I think that there's some moderate Democrats that see Sarah Rodriguez as the more moderate of the choices out there that has a chance of winning. And so whether it be Sarah's donations that she may have got the money now to do that ad buy, or maybe it's third party groups that are putting money out there on Sarah's behalf, there are folks who say this is not disqualifying because they're really, really anxious to have a moderate or more moderate Democrat come out of this campaign. And in their assessment, they see Sarah as more moderate than Barnes or Hong. But also, you know, Joel Brennan is also someone who has more of a pro-business mentality. And there'll be folks that are supporting Joel Brennan in this. And Joel Brennan hasn't got tons of attention. His name identity is pretty low when you look at that. But maybe this all changes things where people are looking around saying, okay, who else is out there? And maybe Joel has a chance.
All right. Hey, let's change the subject here. You are in charge of the most important business advocacy group in our city. And we wanted to get your take on the Journal Sentinel poll that showed readers prefer 794 stay in place. This comes the same day that three aldermen came out and they said, no, we disagree with the mayor. We got to tear it down. What did the poll show?
Well, only a third of polls, the people who responded to the poll thought it was a good idea to tear it down. The other two thirds said either do a hybrid or replace it as is. And I've talked to probably 100 businesses on this, and 98 of them said, do not tear 794 down. And it's one of those issues where I don't want to be too lengthy on all the issues here, but if you really study the bridge has to go over the river. That bridge has to go up and down to allow boats, and what that would do to back up traffic all the way onto the interstate, which would not be safe, would not be convenient to get downtown. There are multiple pedestrian, cycling, safety issues. And so the cost of tearing it down and doing street level would be astronomical. So the business community agrees with the vast majority of respondents to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel poll that the mayor's position makes tremendous sense. And I would not see that the state would go forward with a plan that the mayor was opposed to.
Hey, let's end with something a little bit fun, Dale. Lakefront Brewery named one of the top U.S. breweries in America. This is pretty cool stuff.
It is cool. And you know where Dale and Jennifer Coinga celebrated their wedding reception? It was at Lakefront Brewery.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. We just celebrated 20 years. So that was a while ago when they did weddings.
Wow.
But I remember, you know, Jennifer's originally from Illinois. I'm originally from the Chicagoland area. So it was 20 years ago when most of the folks that came to our wedding were from the Illinois area. And then my military friends that came around the country. And I remember they got here and they're like, this place is awesome, which led to like, this city is awesome. So as always, I'm just adding my little personal touch to a great story that Lakefront Brewery has been recognized as one of the top U.S. breweries. And so proud of Russ over there, my tall friend Russ, and what they have built over there, and the vibe and the great brew. And we're truly the brew city, not only because of great stable companies that we've had for over 100 years, like Miller Coors, which we're also super proud of. We're also proud of breweries like Lakefront Brewery, that if you do the tour, they will say that they spill more, that the big breweries spill more beer in a day than they brew in a year. And it's just great recognition of not only Lakefront Brewery, but Milwaukee and our entire brewery scene.
14th brewer, number 14 on the list in all of America. This is really cool stuff. They cite the tour. They cite the product.
Yeah. Well, they're number one in Jennifer and I's book.
I love that, Dale. That's such a great Milwaukee story. Dale Coinga is the president and CEO of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. Thank you, Dale.
Thank you. Have a great day.